to come.
So he would come, what do you mean come and take your dog and cat?
Well, I didn't want him to come and, feel that they were in his way or something like that.
Oh, a student teacher to come and stay with you.
Yeah, oh, he was going to come and stay and do his student teaching here.
I see. Were you teaching then or were you retired?
I'd retired, but anyway, he came. And as it turned out, way back somewhere, his father was related to my mother, but way back. But anyway, he came, and it was a pleasure to have him. He really was. He was a big help to me, too. If I wanted something done that I couldn't do, he'd do for me. So as time went on, he said he'd got to find a job. And he said, Mary, I've applied way up in Morgan. He said, and I probably will never get it, but he said, I'd like to go up there to teach. You know where Morgan is. Well, anyway, one day the phone rang, and this man said to me, is Robert Hunt there? And I said, well, he's in school. What can I do to help you? And he said, well, I don't know, but he said, maybe you can help him. He said, what kind of a guy is he? And I said, what are you looking for, a recommendation or what? And he said, well, I'm looking for a recommendation. And he said, I'll explain it to you. He's got to meet the board tonight, he said, to find out whether he's going to be able to have the position or not. He said, is it all right? Do you think he would fit in? I said, well, I don't know just what you want me to say. But I said, he's a graduate of Johnson Normal. And I said, I'll tell you this much about him. If he was ever going to go to Johnson to a party or anything, and he wouldn't be home until 11 or 12, he would call me and tell me he wouldn't be home until such and such a time. And I said, it was a relief to me because I knew he was all right. But I said, he's done that for a couple of years. Well, he said he's got a little more time to do some more student teaching, but he can go to Duxbury to do it. But he said he'll have to come up to Morgan tonight. And I said, well, he won't get out of school till 4 o'clock. Well, he said he can make it all right. Well, when Robert came, I told him, and he said, well, I'm going to Duxbury to teach Mary for 6 weeks, but he said, I'm not going to go. He said, I'll stay with you and go back and forth. Is that all right with you? And I said, well, yes, if you want to stay here. He said, yes, I'll stay here and go back and forth. Well, he did. And he went to Morgan, and they hired him as a principal.
Oh, my.
And he came back, and I said, Robert, you certainly are lucky, I said, to get a job like this. And he said, well, I wish you'd go up and look it over and see what you really think about it. Well, the next day, I decided I'd go up and look at it. And do you know, I never saw a one-room school. Well, his was going to be one room, but it was really a two-room school. Spice, want me to get the newspaper? As that school was. And he went. And
Now, is that good or bad when you say you never saw one like that?
It was so well equipped.
Oh.
Everything. They even had a piano. They had an electric stove in their kitchen and everything for convenience, and way up on the side hill. And so he went. And he found a place to live. And he said, I don't know how it's going to go, but he said, I'll try it anyway. Well, he's still there. And when he was going to get married, he called and he wrote to me and he said, I'm going to be married down in Woodstock. Can you come down? And I said, I don't know as I'd come, but I'll find somebody to go with me. But I said, they won't have a chance to have an invitation like I have. He said, they'll be welcome. Well, I had a fellow that used to stop here once in a while from Waitsfield, and I called and asked him, I said, would you be willing to drive me down to Woodstock to a wedding? But I said, you've got to go too. He said, I don't know whether I want to go to a wedding or not. Well, I said, this is Robert. He said, yes, I'll go. So he and I went to the wedding. And he now has 3 children. But he's still in the same school he was when I let him go.
Have you had boarders here then?
Oh, I took skiers. I took skiers so I couldn't take any more.
How would you make connections with skiers? How would they find you?
Well, usually the woman across the street used to take skiers. And if she had an overflow, I could take 4.
Uh-huh.
And then Mrs. Maynard up on the main road here did the same thing. So I didn't have to go looking for them because I always had them.
Uh-huh.
Helen called me one night and she said, Mary, I've got 5 Swedes and only one of them can talk English. Will you take them? I said, Helen, I don't know. I said, that's kind of short notice. Well, she said, what do you got to have? Well, I said, I've got to have an apple pie because the man that can speak English wants apple pie and ice cream. Well, I said, I've got the apple pie and the ice cream. Now I said, what have I got to have for meat? Well, she told me, and I said, all right, I'll take them. So I took them. And do you know, I heard from that man, that crowd for a couple of years.
Huh. So you would not only provide them with a place to sleep, but you'd feed them.
I'd feed them too.
Morning and evening?
No, just one meal a day.
Yeah. Do people still do that around here?
Well, not like they used to. They used to do it. I had one doctor come. He had a broken leg. And he said, well, he couldn't go anywhere. And they took him out the hospital and they patched him up and told him he couldn't ski for I don't know how long. And he was here pretty near 6 weeks.
At your house?
At my house.
Oh, my word.
But he was no bother. He'd eat his breakfast and they asked me what time I would like to have breakfast and I said, well, if you come by 7:30, you can have your breakfast. And so that's what they always did. I always did.
So as far as during your teaching career, you know, from the time you started out to the time you retired,
yeah,
were there particular kinds of changes that you that occurred that, you know, sort of you felt were especially important?
Well, during the war, I worked for the Red Cross. I worked as a nurse's aide. And I worked in the city hospital in Worcester, Mass. There were 25 teachers that took that course. And we all took it. And when the end of our course came, we were given a choice. There were 3 hospitals in Worcester. And they told us we could take anyone we wanted. And I said, well, I'll take the city hospital because they have trained us. So I stayed with one other girl and the rest of them all went somewhere else. Pretty soon we could see them coming back, first one, then another. One night I said to this girl, what in the world are you coming back for? You left the city hospital. She said, Mary, you know, up there, she said, when we do the bedpans, we don't have any washing machine to put it in. We have to do it with a brush and a rag. And she said, we are getting sick of it. We're going back where we get the washing machine. So that's why they came back. But I taught school until 1 o'clock every day. That was our schedule. And then at 5 o'clock, my husband took me to the city hospital, and I stayed until 10. And I did that during the war.
And was that to
that was to
take care of, like, combat casualties?
Anything that came in the city hospital. But that was one part of my life that I really gave. I felt I was giving somebody something when I had to do that.
Uh-huh. Did you do that for the entire war?
I did it the whole war. I did it afterwards for a while, but I didn't. I did it because they were very short of help.
Uh-huh.
But that was one phase of my life that I really... But I enjoyed teaching. I really did.
And did it... When you finished up, were you still doing... Was it still the same job that you had started out to do when you first were trained? Or had so many changes occurred that it...
No, I ended up teaching. I did substitute for work. Do you remember when that English teacher came here and she decided that the children didn't have to mind? If they wanted to take a pillow and lay down on the floor, they could. If they didn't feel like doing the arithmetic, they didn't have to.
Was that in Moortown?
That was one of them, but it was all around here.
Uh-huh.
They did it everywhere. And one day, Marion Merchant, who was teaching the fourth grade that time, wanted to know if I wouldn't substitute a couple of days for her. And she said, I don't know how they'll act, but she said, if there's two boys, she said, that have got a pillow and a rug in the back of the room, and if they get their work done, they're allowed to go up and lie down and be quiet for a couple of hours. I said, 2 hours, two boys that age? And she said to me, you don't think much of that, do you? I said, no, I don't. But I said, I'll tell you, Marin, if they're going to be up in the corner and lay down and go to sleep, that's all right for me. But if they're going up and wrestle, they're going to do their arithmetic.
Uh-huh.
Well, they wrestled pretty quick.
Uh-huh.
So back they came to do their arithmetic. They told Mrs. Merchant, they hoped I never supplied again because it kept them working all day. So she laughed about it.
Yeah.
But that's when they were allowing the children so much freedom.
Uh-huh. And that didn't work.
And it didn't work. Not here, anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't think it worked anywhere else. Did you ever meet Charlotte Barney? Oh, she taught here. She's retired now. I'll tell you where you see the retired teachers when you go to the retired teachers meeting.
Yes.
Up in Montpelier. you see plenty of them.
Do you go?
I go once in a while. Yeah. Mrs. Ward and I go. She didn't graduate from here, but she graduated down in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But she still goes to the retired teachers. She likes to go.
Does she teach? Did she teach?
She did teach at that time.
Yeah. Well, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, but have you given up your teaching entirely?
Yes, yeah. I do lots of work with teachers, teacher training programs and things like that.
Now, when you're working with this man over on the library, do you have the library to teach?
No,
Holstein heard that he was very fussy about, and he was looking for a man that would really make the men work, I guess.
This was a gentleman's farmer?
Yeah,
gentleman
farmer. He had a beautiful, it was an estate, that really what it was.
What was his name?
King.
And he had a show herd of Holstein.
Yeah, they were all registered and everything.
And how did he get wind of your father?
Somebody that my father knew, this man. There was a man that had another farm that I don't know how Dad did really meet him. But we went, and he was there a number of years. But Mother didn't like down there. She didn't like living in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh. So he was the farm manager?
Yeah, he was the farm manager.
And
we had a nice place to live and everything, but she still wanted to come back to Vermont. So,
had your father been farming before he went?
Yes, we had a farm of our own, you see, down on the river, down towards Lake Mansfield.
Uh-huh.
And when they were going to flood the land, you know, they were going to flood the farm we were on. So Dad had a chance to go down there to work, so he went. It meant they're moving. We moved horse and dog and cat and all. Huh.
Did you move by train?
No, he went. He had a truck. But we had a nice place to live, and we were only a short distance from the school, really.
And that was in Northboro?
Yeah, that was in Northboro. That's only 10 miles from Worcester. I just went down there last fall to the high school reunion.
Well, at 88, that must have been a fairly large, big number reunion.
It was.
What was it?
It was a high school reunion.
Your...
No, there they have a rule that anybody that has ever been to school there, it doesn't make any difference whether you've been in the first grade or the high school. You're still an alumni of the school. And my sister had been there in the first grade. She went with me this year. Uh-huh. And she said, Mary, I would never believe that people could be so friendly. Uh-huh. Everybody was delighted to see everybody, you know. That's why I said it seemed to me a lot more like home, because my brother and I both were close together, you see. He was only 18 months younger than I was anyway, and he was in high school at the same time, but he came back to Stowe, you see, so that he graduated with the class that he was going with when he left. So that's the way he made up his time.
So was this your 60th or your 70th? What number anniversary reunion was this?
This was the 68th.
68.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was surprising to see the people. They came from everywhere. Two of them came from California. It takes people courage to pick up and go like that.
Yeah. And when your father came back then, did he farm again?
No, he worked for the town. He worked on the road. He didn't work steady because he didn't want to. He had a small farm. Then he had a sugar place.
And working on the road, was that a seasonal job or?
No, that was just in the summertime.
Yeah.
And then during the flood, after the flood was over with, he worked with the machine in Waterbury, just plowing sand, we used to tell him. But he was feeling sorry for people that, you know, didn't have anything, their homes were gone, and the animals, too, for that matter. I like Moortown, but it to me, Moortown isn't just exactly like it used to be. It has changed.
What comes to mind first when you think of how it's changed?
Well, I don't know just how to say it to you. I guess it's because so many people that I've known are gone. Now, Florence and Kenneth were very good friends of mine. And when you lose your friends, you lose a lot. Do you have a town meeting in Brentree?
Yes.
What's that near?
Randolph.
Oh, Lord, I ought to know that. I taught school down in East Randolph.
Oh, in the building?